everybody. I am back with Your Mom's Journal. Today is going to be a little different. I'm asking questions and you're giving the answers. Yep, I've asked just a few of my listeners some questions and I'll be providing their answers. And because the response to my request has been so overwhelming, I may have to do a part two. Just putting that out there. I don't know how long this is going to take. If it gets too lengthy, I'll just stop, take a break, and then I'll come back with a part two. That way you guys can listen whenever you have, a few minutes to do so. Also, you may hear a little background noise, but stay focused and ignore it. Okay. I'll be reading the answers provided. So let me get into my little disclaimer. Okay, first of all, I am reading and I'm excited. So there may be a few hiccups and mispronounced words. So excuse me in advance. And lastly, answers have not been edited and will be read as is for the most part. Okay. The purpose of why the questions are being asked is to uncover just some of our hidden fears, outstanding triumphs, and some of our struggles just as parents. Most importantly is just to give strength and encouragement to anyone that's going through self-doubt or going through feeling like they're not doing what they should be or just doubting themselves as parents. You've got this. We've got this. Also, these questions are questions I've never asked my mom. There were things I wanted to know out of curiosity and things I wanted an explanation for. So this is how I came up with the questions in case someone's just curious, like, how did she come up with all these questions? I basically just asked myself, what do you want to know about your mom? What would you like to ask that you never did? So that's where the questions stem from. But my prayer is that God opens your heart to receive whatever message is meant for you to receive, and that whatever self-doubt you have that's stirring up inside of you is released. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get started. All right. I'm so excited. So we're going to start off with Kanisha. Her question is, being a mom has its ups and downs, but I like to shed light on the ups. Tell me about a proud mommy moment you experienced, and what is a piece of advice you like to give to a mom that's struggling to find their quote unquote happy place? Her answer is, One of my many proud mommy moments. One of the toughest things about being a mom is being strong for your kids when you feel like you don't have the strength to be as strong as you know you should be. But for our kids, we managed to find the strength. And personally, I know my strength comes from God. So I'm thankful to have Him in my life. I was having a not so good day. My grandma who raised me had become very ill and it was a lot for me to handle. So I go to the grocery store to get some groceries and head home. I get home and I don't even get a chance to put the groceries up because before I knew it, I had to step outside to let my tears flow. All I could think about was my grandma. So as I stood outside to gather myself, I come back in and all my groceries are being put up by my children. Now, they had never even helped me put up one grocery, but was ready to eat. I had been fussing at them a lot too, so I never expected that from them. But it's little things like that that make me feel in that moment now, no matter how much these little people get on my nerves, I love them more than anything. And the timing could not have been any more perfect. I was so happy and proud, and everything was where it should be. A few things may have been upside down, but they were still edible. That really made my day. As far as finding a happy place, all I know is life is short and we all deserve to be happy. As mothers, we have to make time for ourselves to do what makes us happy. But at the same time, a happy place should also be a safe place. Sometimes we put so much time and energy into our children and significant others, we forget to take care of us. It is mandatory to our motherhood, I believe, to find a happy place, especially because it will keep a lot of us from catching cases. Our children depend on us. You only get one mom. How can we want and show them to be happy if we don't know how? A happy place is something we should practice and teach our kids so nobody or nothing else has to. Wow. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to Miss Kanisha for being so open and honest. I want to thank God for you and for the message that you're sending, which is we have to be the best us that we can be so that we could be the best mom that we can be for our children. I am a mom that has experienced many times when I felt that I wasn't doing enough. I didn't even feel like I was the average mom. I didn't think at some point that I was in a good place. And I think it was because of my personal situation. And that kind of made me judge myself as a mom. I rock now, though. I'm not perfect, but hey, I'm doing it. But I want to thank you for sharing your story. And I pray that it's enlightened someone and it's helped someone to see that they're not alone, that there's other moms out there that have experienced hurt, pain, grief, but we made it through. And a lot of times our kids, they help us do that. They don't even know like the role that they play. It's so funny how you could be in a moment of just sadness and you don't even know why. And your kids will walk up to you and they'll just hold your face and they'll say, "Mommy, it's okay." And I've experienced that. My son, I remember, came up to me and he just held my face and he said, "Mommy, it's going to be okay." And I think that was just God using my baby to tell me, "It's going to be okay." Oh, excuse me. I was not expecting to get this emotional. Jesus. Man, our kids, man, they don't even know the joy that they bring. And like Kanisha said, they get on your nerves. They do things that you're like, "Really? You really just did that?" But at the same time, they're such a blessing. So thank you, Miss Kanisha, again for your response, your answer. We're moving on to the next one. This is from Miss Crystal. Her question is, "As parents, we want to give our children the world. There were things I didn't receive or do as a child that I either want for my kids or want to make sure that they don't experience. What are some things you want your son to have or experience that you did or didn't have or do as a child?" And her response is, "Geesh." I'm about to be very transparent. Oh, we got a warning, you guys. Many people don't know this about me besides my family, but growing up, I didn't have my own room until the summer, right before I started 11th grade. We lived in a small two-bedroom home filled with lots of love and 8 people or more. I say "or more" because during my childhood, although we didn't have any extra room and we didn't have a big fancy house, someone else was always staying with us. Whether it was cousins, aunts, uncles, grand aunts, along with their families, our doors were always open like a shelter of some sorts. I was spoiled beyond measures, but in my quote-unquote room of 6, excuse me, my quote-unquote room, 6 of us slept in there. Because of growing up so close, our family is very tight-knit and close, so it had its advantages. Buying my own house was about having my own space, but more importantly, making sure my son had his very own space, which I didn't have for most of my childhood. Because I didn't have my own room, I didn't have friends over spending the night or playing with me except my cousin. I wanted to give him the childhood space I didn't have, which is why I have one room and he has his room plus his very own toy room. Although we didn't live in the fanciest or most expensive home, my siblings and I had everything I needed and most of whatever I wanted. I travel almost every year for spring break to Disney World, Six Flags, or the beach, so I love for my son to go on yearly vacations also. I want him to have those happy times and memories that will stick with him forever so that he can reflect on his childhood and say, "Hey, I had it pretty good growing up. My mom did the best she could for me. As a single parent, there's nothing I needed that she didn't provide. As a child, I was taught to be mannerable, respectful, have a strong work ethic, be responsible and accountable. I always saw my mom, daddy, grandma, and granddaddy working tirelessly, even if their body was aching. They pushed through to provide for their family. When looking at the world today, it seems like parents are dropping the ball on teaching kids this nowadays, but I want to make sure all of this is instilled in my son. My grandfather will always tell me, 'Baby, manners will take you further than money and an education.' When it comes to things I don't want him to experience, at the top of my list would be those student loans that stick with you for life until they're paid off. You can't even escape them with bankruptcy. I could have gotten scholarships had I applied, but I will always say, oh no, I don't feel like writing any essays. Boy, was I wrong. And life is about living and learning, so I can truly say lesson learned. I don't want him to have those hanging over his head like I did when I was going through the home buying process. For many people, because of their financial situation, loans will be the only way for their children or child to further their education. But I want to make sure he exhausts all other options before taking on that debt. Lastly, the greatest and most important gift I want to give him is a relationship with God. He's truly a gift from God, so I want him to know God for himself so that whatever he goes through in life, he knows he has someone that loves him so much he sent his only son to die for him. I want him to know that he's never alone, and when life gets hard, there's someone he can go to that he can cast all his cares on, someone that already knows that he has need of before he even says it. Someone that knew all about him before he was born and has great plans for his life. I want him to know he has purpose and he's loved. Nothing about him is a mistake. He was uniquely made to stand out, not fit in. I truly believe if I give him Christ, I've given him the world without going broke doing it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. Once our focus is on Christ, the other things will come. Wow, that is absolutely true. Thank you, Miss Crystal, for your response to my question. I appreciate you being so open and honest, and I thank you for sharing your story. Growing up, we always seem to think that our parents give us the best, and for the most part, that's true. For those of us who are lucky enough to be blessed with wonderful parents, that is true. However, there may be times when we have parents that struggle. I remember growing up, and when I was younger, my mom and dad, they had a house built. And I remember standing in the dirt that our house was built on, and there were these sticks and pieces of wood, and there was plywood, and like the house was literally being built, and I was standing in the middle of it, and I was like, oh, that's my room over there, and that's the living room right there, and that's the kitchen. And when the house was built, I thought it was the best thing in the world, and I love my space. I did have to share my room with my sister when she came along. She came along years later. But for the most of my childhood, I had my own space. She had her own room, had my own room. And then my brother came along because it was a 3-bedroom house. We ended up sharing a room. And I believe after we moved out of that house, I ended up having my own room again because I was the oldest. Yay. But there is nothing like having, you know, your own space as a kid. And I'm even in that situation now with my oldest daughter. I want her to have her own space because I have my own space. But it's difficult to give our kids things that we didn't have, or give our kids things that we want them to have that we didn't have, or have them experience things that we didn't experience. You know, that's usually one of the go-tos when you think back on parenting, like, okay, what am I going to do when this child gets here? Oh, I'm going to give them everything I didn't have. But don't beat yourself up if you can't. You know, there's things that we want our kids to have, to experience, to do, you know, that they may not be able to do or have or what have you, because for whatever reason, it just wasn't possible. But that doesn't mean that you didn't give it all you had. That doesn't mean you didn't love your children. That doesn't mean that you aren't being the best parent you can be. But I get it. I certainly get it. It's a struggle. It's something that we might beat ourselves up about, but don't do that. Just love on your babies and do what you can, you know? And if giving them the world is what you want to do, go for it. But do not think that you're less than if you fall short of the world and you can only give them a piece of land. So, but thank you, Miss Crystal, for your story. We're going to move on to the next. This one is from Miss Sonia. Her question is, with having an adult daughter, how does the dynamic of your relationship differ than when she was, say, a teenager? Do you find yourself still needing to guide her, or are you more of a listening ear? What advice would you give to parents of adults? My listeners are very diverse, so this is going to be very interesting to hear. Miss Sonia's answer is, my relationship with my daughter as a teenager was more so trying to teach her the ins and outs of life. For example, in dating, our conversations were more that boys are secondary to her knowing how to take care of herself with or without a man in her life, not man bashing or anything. I thought of my days of being a housewife and having goals, but putting things to the side because wanting to have all my attention on the babies and husband. But I had to realize what is important and that there is balance. You can do both. Both meaning take care of family and reach your goals. To answer the first question, I was guided early in life. However, we do not know it's up to them to listen. As an adult daughter, I listen a lot when she has things going on, good or bad, because during the time she's venting, she comes up with her own solutions if there's a problem. I listen when things are great so that she knows things can be awesome. I encourage my daughter and do a lot of praying for her. If asked my opinion, I give in a way of not telling her what to do. This makes the receiving better. I guide it early and listen later, giving careful thought to my responses. That is awesome. Thank you, Miss Sonia, for your response. I truly appreciate it. This is more so important to me because my daughter, who's a teenager, is going to be an adult soon, and I'm sad. She's growing up. Yeah, folks, our kids grow up, and sometimes we don't want them to. But I've always wanted to know, like, how the relationship changes as, you know, kids transition from different stages in their lives. We have to change our approach as parents as they get older. We can't treat them like they're babies when they're teenagers, and we can't treat them like they're adults when they're babies. So I'm just curious as to how my daughter and our relationship will grow and transition on when she gets older. So that's very helpful for me, having, you know, a teenage daughter who's soon to be an adult. So I appreciate your response and thank you so much. We're moving on to the next question. This is from Miss Anonymous. Her question is, being a mom can be rewarding yet challenging. Tell me how you handle the challenging moments and what's been the most rewarding moment you've experienced. Her answer is, I handle challenging moments by literally praying it out, especially when I have no idea what to do. Amen to that. After praying, I will talk with my loved ones. For example, my mom. I'm trying to make sure I raise a functioning adult. So the most rewarding moment for me is when raising my child who was born premature and have a slight delay, may make strides in school and in therapy. She is very independent. She does not like to miss school. She is ready to leave for the day before I am. One day she emailed me at work just to tell me what college she wants to go to. My child is 14. It's moments like these that make me so proud. She cooks for herself. She washes her own clothes. All of these examples are rewarding moments for me. Wow. Thank you, Miss Anonymous, for sharing. This is really, really, really important. We have sometimes the need for affirmations from our children to know that we're on the right path. The fact that she's only 14 and she's already talking about college and she's so independent with her being premature is awesome. That just goes to show how well you're doing as a mom. She's on the right track and so are you. I'm very proud of the both of you. So thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. I'm going to do one more because it's getting a little lengthy. So we'll probably end up doing a part two, maybe three. So the next one I'm going to do is Miss Era Victoria. Era Victoria's question is, you have two beautiful daughters. What has been the biggest fear in raising them in society that we're surrounded in today? And how do you overcome your fear? Her answer is, my greatest fear is that their upbringing will not provide them with all the tools needed to avoid the things that I experienced. I overcome it daily and I'm still working on it. That is something that I struggle with as well. Air Victoria. I have a fear, had a fear of raising all of my children in today's society because they're so influenced by social media and what's out on the internet. And it's bad enough that we have to deal with peer pressure. So not only are they dealing with issues at school, they're having to deal with issues or, excuse me, pressures on the internet. So I try to monitor what they're listening to on the radio. I monitor, you know, what websites they visit. You have to be vigilant when it comes to your babies in society today because there's all types of crazy things out there that they will be exposed to. I remember my middle girl, who's 8 now, but at the time she may have been 6, and she loves to watch cartoons and things on YouTube. And she came across a video that was of this doll, and she had really big eyes. Some of you may know what I'm talking about, some of you may not. I don't remember the name of the doll. You can look it up, but it wasn't a doll. It was actually a person that looked like a doll. This person or doll had really big eyes, and it was trying to convince children to commit suicide. Did y'all hear about that? So when she brought it to my attention, I freaked out. I was so scared. I rebuked that in Jesus' name. I said, oh no, you will not be watching this. And that just made me even more vigilant into what she was looking at. It wasn't something she was even seeking out. She wasn't looking for this. It just happened to appear while she was trying to find some cartoons to watch on YouTube. So parents, we have that fear. But I remember I was speaking to you guys before about having fear. It should not exist. We're scared, yeah, but don't let that fear cripple you. Get out there and tackle those demons. We want our kids to know that we're strong. So when they come across things in society that may frighten them, that may get them off course, we got to be strong enough to get them back where they need to be. So thank you, Air Victoria, for sharing your answer. I hope and pray that this is going to be a blessing to someone. It's certainly been blessing me. You guys have been so great. I appreciate everyone's responses. I'm sorry that I can't get to everyone on this particular episode. You guys have been so good in just getting back to me with this. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, but it's already been too long. I have to go, so I will definitely be back. So stay tuned.